Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Isaiah, chapter 46. And I'm going to read just one verse that I'll use as a text verse this morning, that being the ninth verse of this chapter, Isaiah 46 and verse 9. You follow along in your Bible as I read, and it says, "Remember the former things of old." Remember the former things of old. "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me." Now go back, if you will, and look at that first little phrase there. He said, "Remember the former things of old." I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that I think all of us can identify with. I'm going to entitle the message this morning, "I Can't Remember a Thing." And I don't know about you, but I can't. I have to write it down or I'm in trouble. Somebody will say, "Will you do this?" And I'll do that for you. And then I forget. And then they get mad because I didn't do it. And they think that I didn't do it because I didn't think they were important enough or I didn't like them or what. And that's not the case at all. It's just old timer's disease. I can't remember a lot of things. And so I often will write things down, little notes, and remind myself to do something, and I'm sure that all of us, at some time or another, you're probably already there, but if you're not there, you soon will be there. But all of us can identify with the message this morning, "I can't remember a thing." Actually, what I want to talk to you about this morning is a little thing that God put in each and every one of us called our memory. Our memory is important. God gave it to us. And I want to talk to you this morning about the ministry of your memory, what purpose it serves in your life. Let's pray together, and then the message, "I can't remember a thing." Let's pray. Our Father, we are truly thankful that we have a Bible this morning. And Lord, we're thankful for the way you made us. Lord, there are many questions we have about our lives and about our physical bodies. But Lord, you made us the way you made us for a reason. And we thank you for all the faculties that you've given to us. But Lord, we pray this morning you'll help us to be thankful for our memory. And Lord, help us to see today how the memory works and how we can use it to serve you. And Lord, to be a blessing to others and to have happiness and joy in life. And so, Father, fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak this morning. Give us understanding, open our minds and hearts, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that I think a lot of people appreciate for the message. I want to speak to you on your memory. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I just can't remember a thing anymore." I've said that lately. We all say that. I think sometimes the older we get, the more tempted we are to say that. I don't know that our faculties leave us anymore, or whether we just have so much that we're thinking about, so much that we're dealing with, that sometimes we can't remember a lot of the little things that we need to remember. But I want to speak to you on your memory. I've watched folks stumble and try their best to bring something to mind, but they just couldn't seem to find where they had placed that information in order to pull it out and to remember it. And certainly all of us have that problem. Now, of all the powers that God has granted to us, none is more wonderful than memory. There is something wonderful about being able to think, to daydream, to have hope, to have imagination. All these things are wonderful powers to possess. Even desire or fear. These are all parts of our makeup. But of all the powers that God has endowed us with, memory has to rank way up there on the list. Now, what is memory? Well, I think it is a twofold power. First of all, it is the power to it is the power that is able to gather and store in our minds all of the multitudes of things that we have learned. And in second, it is the power to be able to pull out of that great storehouse some specific information whenever we need it. I read, and I tried to go back this morning and find the source where I read this so I could verify it, but I couldn't find it. But I read where there are several languages that have different words for these two acts. But in the English language, we have just one word, and that word is memory. Now, some folks think that every single thing that affects our five senses is permanently stored in our mind, in our memory bank, if you will. And they say that that is why something can trigger a thought, that something can happen to us, or something, you know, we can see something or hear something or smell something or touch something or taste something, and then that triggers that memory that was stored to come roaring back. And we can gather back some of the stuff that our minds have stored, and there are others that we cannot retrieve for some strange reason. My brother and his family were with us last week on vacation, and my brother and I were going down memory lane together about when we were children and growing up, and there were some things that I remembered that he did not remember. There were things that he remembered specifically and told me happened, and I had no memory of them whatsoever. But then there were several things that happened, and both of us haven't the same memory of what happened. So memory is an amazing thing that God has given and God has blessed us with, but it is also one of the most mysterious, for there are very few people that understand how it works. Now, I think that there is no other religion that lays as great an emphasis on memory as does Christianity. When the Lord Jesus was here, he used every power given to us by God for his purposes. He used thought. He used hope. He used imagination. He used fear. He used them all. But he exalted memory and used it better than anyone ever has. For you see, the one thing we can all say about the words of Christ is that they were memorable words. All of us could sit here this morning and remember countless things that our Lord said. But the words of countless other people, you hear them or you read them, and then for some strange reason, they're gone. But the words of our Lord stay in our minds. They're like barbed arrows. They're like a brand upon the skin. Once stamped with his words, the memory will never forget them. And I think this is one reason why Romans 10:17 is so important in the Bible. When Paul, recognizing the power of memory, said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Christ recognized the power of memory, and he used it fully with his power, or with the power of his words. Now, did you ever think of what a daring thing it was for Christ and Christianity to put so much emphasis on memory? Don't forget, memory deals with the past, and it enlists the memory, and to enlist the memory in his service meant that Christ was not afraid to deal with his past. He was not afraid of the past. Think about it. Any false prophet can give others a hope for the future. It is an easy thing to speak about the future when none of us have been there yet. But it is the glory of Christianity that it has a message for my past and for yours. Remember Isaiah 1:18? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And only Christ could dare challenge us to remember those words and exalt memory, the memory so. It took Calvary and pardon to the uttermost and peace with God in order to do it. So I want to speak to you this morning on your memory. And I want to share with you now three things that memory does for us as believers. God gave us all a memory. Why did he do that? Well, let me give you three things that our memory does for us. First of all, it is memory which helps us appreciate the world we live in. It is memory that helps us appreciate the world we live in. When we lived in Dixie, West Virginia, and that was 24 years ago. We lived in a little town down in the mountains of West Virginia called Dixie, West Virginia. There were 300 people lived in Dixie. Just about 5 miles down the road from Dixie was a major highway, a U.S. Route 60. And U.S. Route 60 followed the river, the Kanawha River, and went through this little town where the Gauley River and the New River converge to make the Kanawha River. And it's a beautiful scenery. But now you got to realize, we lived there. And I never saw its beauty. I really didn't. I never saw the beauty of that area. And down at just on the edge of town, as you come off of what is called Gauley Mountain, which is just one of these straight up and down, you can wave at yourself when you're going around the corners on this mountain. I mean, you literally, that's how steep it is. You can wave at yourself. Down at the bottom of that mountain was a campground. And that place in June and July and August was just always packed with out-of-state campers. People used to come and take their vacation in our little neck of the woods. And I was always amazed by that. We would talk about it. We would drive down the road and see these campers and say, isn't it amazing that people from Indiana and Maryland and Pennsylvania and New York and Virginia and Ohio, isn't it amazing that these people would come and vacation here in our little town? It's amazing. And we couldn't believe it. We were just astounded that people would come and vacation where we lived. But then a couple of years ago, they asked me to come and preach in the church again. So I went down to preach for them, and I left a little earlier. I don't know if I was just anticipating getting there. But anyway, when I got about an hour away, I realized that I had several hours left. And so instead of taking the straight shot, I turned left and went down Route 19, cut off on Route 19 on all the little side roads and all the little mountainous roads, and took the scenic route down to the church. And as I was going through all of that, I marveled at how relaxing and how beautiful that area really is. I mean, the mountains and the rivers and the parks and the fishing and the water skiing and the golf courses and the restaurants. You see, while you're there, you cannot adequately appreciate it. But once you have experienced that and lived through it, then and gone through it, memory makes it even more brighter and sweeter to the mind. And it occurred to me that I lived in that for years in a world of beauty, but it took memory to enable me to fully appreciate it. Let me give you another example. I used to take Pastor Stainer down there to trout fish every spring. We loved to go. We would get up at like 3 or 4 o'clock on a Thursday morning and get in a car and drive down into the mountains down in Somersville, to Somersville, West Virginia. And we would stop at a store and buy a 2-day, 3-day fishing license and get our trout stamp and our national forest stamp. And then we would hit the river. And I remember this one specific trip. And we were standing at the end of the day, and the sun was going down. It was late in the evening, and we were on the river. We were cleaning out the fish, that we had caught that afternoon. And I had a creel full of fish, and so I was kneeling down by the river, and I was cleaning the fish, gutting the fish, pardon my French, but I was cleaning the French, the fish. And Larry had one. He had one fish. And I accused him of snagging that fish. I said, "You snagged that fish. You didn't catch it. You snagged it." And so he cleaned his. I'm sitting there cleaning mine, and he got quiet. And I looked up as I was cleaning the fish, and he's standing there looking up the river and looking at the rapids and looking at the rocks. And he was quiet and meditative. And I looked up and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just standing here taking this scene in. I am etching this scene in my mind so I will never forget this moment. I'm etching it in my mind so I'll never forget this moment." And I cannot tell you how many times throughout the course of that year he would come in my office and just stand there and recall those beautiful memories. And I still cherish those memories today. Folks, here's the point. Thank God for your memories. Thank God for the memories of your home and your childhood. Thank God for the memories of your children when they were small. Thank God for the memories of mom and dad. I mean, call them up often and relive them in your mind. I have so many memories of snowfalls and flash floods and vacations and the first time that I ever saw the ocean. And I remember vividly sitting in the back seat of our old 57 Chevrolet and driving down across Newport News and seeing those battleships out in the Chesapeake Bay. The first time, those memories are also vivid and so real in my mind. And I think that those memories play an important part in helping us appreciate who we are and where we're from and what we have become. And all these memories play a part in helping you remember that the grace that has brought you safe thus far. Number two. It's memory that helps us understand our friends. It's memory that helps us understand our friends. Now, I want you to think with me. I don't remember who said it, one of the poets. I studied all those guys when I was in college, and I remember what they said. I just don't remember which one of them said it. But one of the great poets said, "To be great is to be misunderstood." Now, if that be true, we all must be greater than we think because all of us are misunderstood. How many times have we said, how many times have I said, oh, I've said it a lot, "I just can't understand people." Anybody ever said that besides me? Yeah. "I just can't understand people." That is so true, is it not? But understand that even the shallowest of hearts has a depth that defies explanation. Even the shallowest of people have a depth about them that defies explanation. Another's thoughts, dreams, ideas, passions, goals are just too complicated for us to know and understand. And God has not given us any way to understand others. There is no key to unlock their secret places, nor is there any crystal ball that we can gaze into in order to understand their deepest thoughts. But God has given us two things to help us handle other people. You say, Pastor, what is that? Well, one thing he gives us is sympathy. It's a shame we don't use that one very often. That opens another's heart, or opens another's heart when he is here. And the other thing that God has given us is memory. And that opens another's character when he is gone. You see what I'm saying? God has given us the ability to show, express sympathy. We don't use that one very often. But we're trying to understand people here. And God gives us sympathy so that we can, instead of getting angry at somebody, we can be sympathetic towards somebody's foolishness or their ignorance. All right? But the second thing is that God gives us memory. And it is memory that opens another character, opens another's character when he is gone. Let me illustrate. We all used to tease Brother Larry about all his little quirks. And man, he had a lot of little quirks. As I said at his funeral, that's the quirkiest guy I ever met in my life. And in many ways, my memories and your memories of all the quirks have made him even more special to us. I don't know about you, but there's not a day pass I don't think about him. Amen. He is on my heart all the time. And it's all those little quirky things that he did and that he was that has enabled my memory of him to make him so close and so real and so special to me. It has been said that our friends are never ours until they are gone. While they are here, it is often that we cannot see their true impact and just who they are for any number of carnal reasons. But once they are gone, we are able to see them in the light of memory, and they seem to stand out more clear than ever. Isn't that true? For you see, at the grave, memory has a way of just holding on to the good. We don't remember the bad things once death has come. We don't remember the bad things. We remember them in life, but we don't remember them in death. I remember when my girls went to college. Josh had already been at college, and then my twin daughters graduated from high school, and boom, they were gone. Just gone. Woke up one day in an empty house, and they were gone. Now, I could be angry with them when they were there, but I could never be angry with them when they were gone. And memory is a wonderful thing, folks. It helps us to see. It helps us to know, to understand who our friends really, really are. I mean, it helps us understand that. Now, let's apply this to the Lord Jesus. You see, the only way we are able to deal with Christ is in the light of memory. We don't have him here. He's not present with us right now physically. The only way that we are able to deal with Christ now is in the light of memory. Maybe someone here has thought that it might be easier to live the Christian life if the Lord Jesus was physically here with us. You might think it would be easier to live the Christian life if Jesus could be here and walk up and down these aisles with us and shake our hands and pat us on the back and encourage us. You might think that it would be easier to live for Christ. But if you think about it, I don't think it is. If it is true that I do not truly know my friend until he is gone, would I have seen the Savior in Jesus of Nazareth had I lived alongside of him in Nazareth? I doubt it. Truth is, it is an untold blessing that there have been 20 centuries between when he walked upon this earth and when I am walking upon it. For now, I can read this book and I can look back and use the light of memory and appreciate him for who he truly is and what he has promised he is going to do for me in the future. So I'm saying to you that memory helps us understand our friends, and especially our friend who sticketh closer than a brother. But then thirdly, it is memory that helps me understand myself. It is memory that helps me understand myself. Folks, don't you find it strange that we are masters at understanding others, but we cannot seem to understand ourselves? Don't you think that's kind of strange? Buddy, we got everybody else tagged, don't we? Huh? We've got everybody else's number. It's a shame we don't have our own. But we can straighten everybody else out. How many times have you watched somebody else's children and then you said, buddy, if I had 5 minutes with that one, I'd straighten that out in a heartbeat. Huh? Yeah, we understand everybody else. We just can't seem to understand ourselves. Let me ask you. What kind of things do you remember best? You see, the kind of thing that you remember best shows what kind of heart you have. Do you remember melodies of songs or music? If you do, then memory betrays the musician in you. Do you remember sunsets or winter snows or the beauty of a spring morning or the smell after a rain? If you do, then probably your memory is revealing the romantic in you. You have a poet's heart, if you will. What does memory bring to your mind? Maybe it causes you to remember hurts, insults, slurs, slights, or some unkind word that was spoken about you. You see, memory can reach back and take these things and turn you into a horrible person. There is not a more miserable person on the planet than the person who cannot forget the wrongs he or she has been dealt in life. Man, I see folks all the time. And they'll say to me, they'll come and see me and they'll say, Pastor, I just can't get over this. I just can't handle that. I see folks who were done some injustice and they remember that injustice every single waking moment until it absolutely possesses them. It's all they think about. It's all that's on their mind. And dear friend, don't let this wonderful gift from God called memory cause you to be bound up in bitterness. Don't let it happen to you. You say, well, I just can't forget. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You say, not me. I'm just not made that way. Yes, you can. You forget by not sitting around and dwelling upon it. You forget by just not sitting around and beating yourself to death with the injustice that came your way. Folks, can you imagine after 15 years, soon to be 16 years, of pastoring this church? I am up here in front of you for 4 hours a week. Some of you, I'm not in front of you for 4 hours a week because you don't come to church 4 hours a week. But you should, at least 3 hours a week. Welcome home. I say a lot of stuff. In four hours a week, I say a lot of stuff. Not only that, I write a bunch of stuff. And it comes on this bulletin here. And I come in contact with oodles of people throughout the week. And I say a lot of stuff. Can you imagine if I harbored all of the digs and the jabs and the letters and the emails and the phone calls and the criticisms? Can you imagine if I remembered all that stuff and just sat around, I walk in and sit down in this chair and look back and say, oh, there's old so-and-so. Yeah, 5.5 years ago, here's what that sorry buzzard said about me. And then I look over here and I see somebody and I say, oh, there's old so-and-so. Man, I remember that letter she wrote me back 5, 7 years ago. Sorry thing. Well, by the time I got up here to preach, I'd be a mess. Well, I'd get up here and start throwing hymn books at you. No, I can't do that. Oh, and by the way, neither can you. You got to get that stuff out of your head. And the longer you sit around and think about something, the more you're going to remember it. Don't let this wonderful gift from God called memory cause you to be bound up in bitterness. Do you remember our Lord? Oh, that we would walk with God daily and get in His Word and remember that when He was attacked, He did not retaliate. When He was hated and despised, He still loved and showed compassion. I'm saying, folks, that memory helps reveal who I am. What does your memory reveal about who you are? What does your memory reveal about you? Now, one more thing. You know, I was thinking about this. As we grow older, memory has a way of growing richer. As we age, memory plays a larger part in our lives. And often that memory brings a sense of guilt and shame. We had a lady here who is now in heaven, by the way. But we had a lady started coming to church here several years ago. She came in, always sat back in there. And sweet soul. She was in her 90s. She was in mid-90s when she passed away. And shortly before she died, she stopped me one Sunday before the service. And I had come in early to visit and shake hands. And she stopped me back there. And she said, Pastor, she said, I need to get saved. And I said, what? You're not saved? No. She said, I've been going to church all my life, but I'm just not saved. And I said, well, you've been going to church all your life. I said, you've heard the gospel. Do you not believe it? She goes, yes, I believe it, but I just don't know if God can forgive me. And I said, oh, honey, listen, God can forgive anybody. Well, I don't know after what I've done. And I said, oh, yeah, God can forgive you for anything. She looked at me and she said, Pastor, she said, 70 years ago. Are you listening? For 70 years, this lady was plagued by guilt for a sin that she committed against God. And she committed a sin against God. And for 70 years, she carried that burden on her shoulders. And she said, God could not forgive me. And I went to the Bible and I showed her all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. I said, now what does the word all mean? She said, well, it means all. I said, yes. That means that sin that you committed 70 years ago can be forgiven. You see, for all those years, she was tortured by a guilty conscience. And I showed her from the Word of God where God's wonderful grace can forgive each and every sin that we have committed against the Lord. And so when we come to Him, The sin is gone, never to be remembered against us no more. Listen, folks, when the devil drudges up your sins, when the devil, who, by the way, knows that God gave you a memory, he knows that. And when the devil comes along and takes that memory and pricks it with his little daggers and says, remember this sin? You just look over. I remember back, it was 41 years ago for me. 41 years ago, I walked down an aisle, got on my knees, and called upon the name of the living God and asked him to save my soul. And right there, I was born again, saved, regenerated, redeemed, given eternal life. Label it what you want. I got saved that day. And on that day, every sin that I had ever committed and every sin I ever would commit was put under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so when the old devil comes along and pulls one out and says, "Yoo-hoo, looky here, look what a wretched person you are." You just look over and say, "What sins are you talking about?" They were all taken care of over here. They're all under the blood. They're forgiven, gone, separated as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me no more. Gone. Devil, do you hear that? Gone. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yes. Memory can be a wonderful thing, but it can also haunt you. So I'm begging you, folks, your memory helps you understand who you are. What's your memory reveal about you? What's it reveal about you? You know, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham said to the rich man who was in hell, and these are some of the saddest words in the Bible, but he said to him, "Son, remember. Remember." I think that is one of the glories of heaven, is that we will have the stain of sin removed and all our tears wiped away. We won't remember those old sins. They'll be gone. But surely one of the torments of hell will be a memory that haunts us for all of eternity. So I think you can see memory plays an important part in our lives. God made us with a memory. What does your memory reveal about you?